after the meal and how I thought that the din was different, that I couldn't believe it. But apparently the Gemara said otherwise, but in fact the Gemara didn't necessarily say otherwise, and there may be a whole block of Rishonim starting with the Rashba. But when I saw the Rashba, I started cheering, because the Rashba read the Gemara, said why I initially said. So anyway, we'll now start to talk about these issues. Before we look at any of the Rishonim, hopefully the whiteboard will be here shortly, because this is a sugya that needs a whiteboard. If you haven't realized that by now, then you better. What's that? No, a whiteboard. Someone went and bought a whiteboard. Yes, I had one on order forever, but it just wasn't happening because the very efficiently run institution, don't ask. So one student finally got fed up and just went out and got it. So we'll get him reimbursed. But this is a sugya that could really use a whiteboard. So let's start reading the Gemara very, very slowly and carefully, to paraphrase Dr. Seuss, take it slowly. This sugya is dangerous. Okay. You know the book.
You said it's about. You quoted that for last
week. Yes, Fox and Socks. Okay, there you go. Okay, so anyway. David, as an only child, you'd be deprived of that because you wouldn't remember from 15 plus years ago. And, you know, so one day you're a parent, they have it even in Hebrew too, so I think. Okay. Anyway, but Dr. Seuss in Hebrew just doesn't cut it. It's like trying to preserve the rhyming scheme, just does not work. So they need their own Dr. Seuss. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says as follows. I think I had a volunteer reader volunteering. Jason, was that you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
Itmar. Hevi'u lifneim te'enim v'anavim v'toch ha'sinah. Amar Rav Huna, tu'nim b'racha lifneim v'en tu'nim b'racha l'acharei.
Okay. Now, first question I would ask, maybe I should have asked it before you even read the line, is that which Ayal asked me, an obvious question, which is... what is this Gemara doing here? It's on the wrong sugya. It's on the wrong Mishnah. It belongs on the next Mishnah. This Mishnah was about Heviyo Lefanav Minim Harbe. What is it doing here? The Yerushalmi has it on the next Mishnah, which is Berech HaLayayin, Berech HaLapas, Pater Shepar Peres, and so on. The answer to the question is... what's that? The answer is, what did you say, David? This previous story, I think, is what makes the link together. Now, remember also that it's not... in other words, the previous story was... Rav Chista Rav Nun HaVayasvei B'Sudasa, and they brought in front of them Tamei V'Rimoni. Some, I think, have a different nusach, actually. There may be other girsos there. But either way, they're bringing in front of them... two of the Shiva Saminim. So they tell the same, basically they discuss the same story now, but from a different angle. I think that's the literary tie-in. Remember, of course, that the Mishnayos weren't necessarily separated, but even so, I believe that the material would be out of order if you took the Mishnah out and put it earlier, the Mishnah would still be being discussed in a different order. One of the possibilities, of course, that you have to consider, although I think it's not likely in this case, is did the Mishnah in fact have a different order? If you find the Sugya Sa Gemara discusses the Mishnah out of order, it may be because they discussed it in their order, not ours. Okay, it doesn't really matter here, but that's something just to note. Fine. So what happens here? Heviv lefnehem. They brought in front of them te'enim va'anavim. Why? What was the purpose of the Tainim and the Anavim? I don't want you to use later terminology. What does that mean? So you eat them with the bread means what? I don't want you to use the term machmas. You were starting to say machmas asuda. Don't use that term. Because you don't know what that term means, and the Amoraim, early Amoraim, didn't use that term. All right, so I just asked you a simple question, and you don't give me a complicated answer. What was the purpose of bringing these foods? Okay, to eat them. Thank you. Okay, got that part. I'm not that slow. Fine. How are you going to eat those? Why are you going to eat these?
As a bread enhancer.
As a bread enhancer. Okay.
Assuming that the bread is the main
assuming the bread is the main meal.
Bread and accompaniment.
So you think that Te'anim and Anavim are enhancing the bread? There are two problems with that. Only one fundamental problem. That seems highly unlikely. Okay, although you did have that Yushalmi, where he said that they are Ikar Negisasi.
Okay, but there...
Yes, that's correct.
No,
that's the exception that proves the rule. Okay, so Mistama, they're not. In other words, you know, I don't think it's a lafes as a pas. You know, at best, it could be like, you know, basar and yerek, but probably not even that. L'chora, it's being brought just because you want to have a little dessert in the middle of the meal because you just taste good, right? I want something sweet, you know, even though I'm cheating a little bit, I want to have that. That's l'chora why they did it. I think everybody would agree to that. The problematic part in Rashi, it's not problematic, is the first statement. Okay? I said it's technically accurate, but the implications of are what's problematic. The problematic implications that if it's not l'lafes as a pas, it automatically is going to get... it's automatically going to require bracha rishona. And as Rashi presents two extremes, he presents lalafes as apas, and then he presents lamatek piv. And as I think everybody agrees, I think all the other rishonim actually agree with the second part. But the problem is, what do you do with the stuff that falls in between? You might not know from Rashi yet, but if you read the Rashi's, the questions that I gave out, and I assume almost everybody got a copy, you know, when a chavrusa, or if you were around, you got a copy. But Rashi later will make it much clearer where he's coming from. But anyway, for the moment, let's assume the purpose was dessert-like, but in the middle of the meal.
That's a normal occurrence.
It's not the normal occurrence, because normally people don't eat dessert in the middle of the meal. You're correct, and you're...
For them, the Tova Suda, is it possible that could have meant after the main course?
What comes after the main course?
Like the actual dessert. How do we know for them what the Tova Suda and the Tova Suda...
I think it's simple. They have the table there with the, let's say, with the ka'ara in front of them, if it's the communal plate, or the individual tables, if it's at, you know, the symposium or whatever it is, and then basically they're continuing to eat. You know, they have I nash on a date, and then I continue having some bread, and I take some hummus with it, or I take some, you know, mara with it, or anything like that. So that's how you know it's b'toch hasuda, because they haven't cleared the table and taken away the bread and so on and so forth. I think Tosis is correct in his description, ultimately, of, you know, what b'toch hasuda was, at least for them. That doesn't mean we can't have b'toch hasuda, but I think that's the reality of the way they ate. Okay, so Rav Huna says that you need a bracha lefneim and you don't need a bracha acharem, and so says Rav Nachman. Okay, now, I ask you a question. Why do you need a bracha before, but not a bracha afterwards? The central question in the sugya. You can throw out possibilities.
In light of the second half?
In light of the Rosheshis, you mean?
Yeah.
If you wish. Okay, let's read Rosheshis to make Wormuth happy. Go ahead. I'm kidding, David, I understand. Okay, so he disagrees. So why do you jump to you're not solving any problems by saying that according to Tosus, if you would eat it chutz l'suda, you'd make birkas hamazon. I mean, the way you're saying is that...
I agree, it's not what's reading.
Okay, all right. Eyal?
Maybe it's tempting within the actual words of Rav Sheshit to point to reading like Rashi, to reading independently.
Okay.
Because he's giving this as a reason for his previous statement. And if we talk about that, if we say that it's the Toha Suda, so then he's just repeating what he just said before. It's not a reason for what he just said, it's just a repetition.
No. The whole point is that he's saying the reason why you have to make a bracha achrona on the teinim and avim also is because there's nothing that you eat in the middle of the meal that doesn't require that you make a bracha rishon on.
That is the argument.
One second.
Yeah.
No, I understand, but that, I don't think this is unusual. I don't think this presentation is usual. As he says, Te'enim and Anavim must have a bracha achrona as well, because there's nothing that you have in a meal that you have to make a bracha rishona, that you don't make a bracha achrona, except for pasta babakis. And I think that's just the way you formulate it, actually. Because first he's responding to the way the formulation is presented by the Gemara. First he's responding to a story. Heviu lefneim te'enim banavim. And Rosheisha says, Din is mevarech lefneim lachareim. Because there's nothing that you have to make a bracha on in the middle of the meal, and it seems everybody agrees you have to make a bracha rishona here on this. There's nothing that gets away without a bracha achrona except for pasta babakistan.
It's like because they
don't. He said the din here is that you make a bracha achrona also, because we don't know what the makar is.
It's not a raya.
It's not a raya.
He's not.
He's presenting it as this is, in other words, based upon this position. We don't know whose position is. Is this some Bryce that we don't know about? Is this Rav Sheshis' position? Whatever is based upon that position, the din in that case X would be. I understand where you're coming from, but you're saying that better that he first says Mevarech Lefanav Ula Amflein Lacharehem B'Toch Hasuda. Why? Because we know as a general rule that there's nothing that you make a bracha before that you don't make a bracha afterwards, except for Pasta B'Kisner. Now, of course, the problem with that, Eyal, the problem with what you're saying is that how does that follow? It doesn't follow because, and it's Kasha and Rashi, because, yeah, the reason why everything else requires a bracha chorna is because you don't have any bracha chorna, which is galelas.
Explain what the actual connection is. I'm just saying.
In other words, Tosus's reading is not so strained even in the sense that the Inyan points to reading it that way contextually. Yes, the statement in isolation, if it had been presented in isolation, if you just had a Mamre of Sheshis, it would be one thing. Okay. David?
I mean, maybe this is reading a little more like Tosfos, but how would Rashi... according to Rashi's reading, this is after the Suda is over. This is independent. What would Rav Sheshis say about an apple?
What? No. No, you just made a mistake. Rashi says Rashi could not possibly say such a thing.
He says about
no. Okay, so I have a little note here.
The beginning is he's saying that everything in Rafferishon Afrona is within the Suda.
Well, read what Rashi says, David. Read Rashi and tell me what. Yeah, go ahead. Just the beginning. Stop. You don't have to proceed any further. What does Rashi mean by that line? There are two ways of reading the line in Rashi. I have a note about this, and I indicate which way I think is the correct way of reading it.
After the meal is over, they would bring out dessert.
I understand. No. I can translate
it. Later on.
Yeah! It's not that Pasa Baba Kistan. There are two ways of reading this line. One could be that it only means Pasa Baba Kistan when you bring it after the Suda. The other way is no. Rashi, just like he says later, Rashi doesn't recognize chronology.
Right.
So in other words, Pasa, it doesn't matter when you bring the Pasa Baba Kistan. Pasa Baba Kistan is the kind of thing that you typically bring after the Suda because it's dessert. That's all. Doesn't matter when you bring it. It's not a question of B'toch HaSuda versus Lach HaSuda for Rashi. Rav Sheshis says that there is nothing that you eat in the middle of the meal that is okay. There's nothing that you eat as part of a meal that zokek you. Okay, he doesn't say it that way. He says, Ein lecha davar shetan bracha lefanav. Otherwise, Rashi's general reading would be impossible. Okay, but let's assume it means as part of a meal, as part of, you know, between pasta and berachas hamazon, there's nothing on which you make a bracha rishona that you don't make a bracha chrona except for pasta babakistan. It doesn't matter b'tocho la'achar, what we call achar suda. Pasta babakistan is dessert food. And therefore, but you have to make a bracha rishona on it because it's not zan, it's not tfeila, but you don't make it's not tfeila, but you don't make a bracha chrona on it. Why? Not because it's done, but because it's somehow connected to Birchas Hamazon. That's all.
That's what Rashi's saying?
Yes. He doesn't mean that it's Bala Achar HaSuda. He's just describing what Pasa B'Kislin is. Just as Te'enim B'Anavim are usually Boyim La'achar HaSuda, but that's not the gedder of how you define Te'enim B'Anavim.
Right, but he says, though, that Pasa B'Kislin doesn't get a Rosh HaKrona, even when it comes after Birchas Hamazon.
No, he doesn't. He says it doesn't get a bracha when you eat it standalone.
Bracha chrona. Right.
Yeah.
Richard, his point is that it never gets a bracha chrona.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do with when you eat it. even within a suda, b'toch ha-suda ha-suda, that's all.
My question is, what would you do with an apple? Presumably, it also doesn't get a bracha achron. If we're going to say v'lo klum, and b'nefesh and v'lo klum go together. Or any other fruit or vegetable that's not from Shabbat HaMinim.
You have these clarifications. Well, I understand what you're asking. Tosfos can deal with that much more easily. I think he would say that when you're dealing with materials that typically are zokek, a bracha achrona, meaning not apples, not water, but you're dealing with chamesha smine dagan or shivas aminim, the only thing that ever has a bracha rishon and not a bracha achrona is pasa babi kisnan. That's what he would say. Question well put, but I think that is the answer for Rashi. Okay. Now can we move on to Ruchia? Okay. There you go. All right, the field goal unit has now come out, and Rebchi is ready to kick. Okay, go ahead, Jason. I should just comment, by the way, that should be automatic grounds for firing a coach, not knowing the rule book back and forward. But I speak as coming out of the base medrash, where law is what we do. That should be automatic grounds for termination of a contract. But then on grounds of comment, it's like you're just not allowed to forget rules. That there's no that kind of hasmada, there's no excuse for it. It's always possible you can prepare and not be able to execute. That's the way it is. You can take a million practice shots, and you get out on the court and you miss the shot. It can happen. But we don't have such micro control. There's no excuse for doing mental lapses because there's no reason for them. There's just no reason for them. Period. Especially guys pay for that. What an Amaretz. Okay, Joe Gibbs, Redskins and Bills. Okay, go ahead. All right.
So
fine.
I had no clue what was
okay, fine.
But I wasn't going to say it.
He called two timeouts to ice the kicker, and the second one was a 15-yard personal foul. Okay, that's the way it works on sportsmanlike conduct. Don't you know anything? I didn't see it, but everybody wrote about it, right? That was probably... Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, I'm ready. Pliga de Rabchia. Okay, so who argues on Rabchia? So there are three choices. I'm going to count Rav Nachman and Rav Huna as one person, okay? Okay, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are both. None is not an option, obviously. Okay, Upliga de Rabchia. So what does Rabchia say? Obviously, that's maybe partially determined by who you assume he's arguing with. But what does he say? Pas, poteres, kol mine macho. All right. What do you think that means? Dylan? The simple reading of the Gemara is he argues with everybody. Pas, poteres, kol mine macho. What does kol mine macho mean? All kinds of foods, okay? To the exclusion, perhaps, of, it's a very interesting question, drink. Now, it may be that Pater's all drinks is, what?
If there were no wine.
If there were no, outside of wine, it might be as well.
Did they conceive of a meal without wine? Meaning that was their main drink.
Probably not. But Yayin Poter Kol Mine Mashkim, the simple reading means what? Can someone describe the case of Yayin Poter Kol Mine Mashkim? Well, I mean, okay, so what does it mean? Is this meal, no meal? It means I pick up a glass of wine, I make a bar pregaf, and I have water, and I have orange juice, and...
If I have another wine on the
You don't make another bar pregaf, and you might have to have a mate that's separate, but we're talking about berch sanenen, not berch shabach. So the pashtus is, yayin potuk and mashkim. Okay, you're having a drinking party, a liquids party, okay? Nadav?
We're saying Pashtut is...
Yeah, because you have to be a radical, independent thinker to decide that you make Ha'etz and orange juice to get even a third bracha in there. And probably the same kinds of people who are making main parties would not be the ones who would be willing to make Ha'etz on their orange juice. Okay, there you go. Okay? Nadav.
I assume that we're saying that Pashtut is bracha Rishona on these things.
As well. I mean, I suspect that bracha... The general trend tends to be that if you're not... If the bracha Rishon is pata, then the bracha Achron is pata as well. Rashi, by the way, has a throwaway line. He just mentions in passing at the beginning of the sugya here, by Ikar V'Tafel, Rashi says, the Mishnah says Ikar V'Tafel applies by what? Or what does it discuss it by? Rishon or Achrona?
Rishon.
Bracha Rishona. Rashi says, and who had then that there's no bracha Achrona either. It's not an enormous chiddush, but when you start to think about it, one could have seen a different position as well.
No reason to jump.
Could this be about bracha achrona?
What's that?
What's his reason to jump from Rishona to
Achrona? Well, okay, that's a question. The reason why one might not have jumped is because you might say that when I have... let's put it this way. The reason to jump is because the fact that the bracha Rishona potters a tofel, even when it's two separate foods and they're not mixed together, is why I think that bracha achrona potters as well. Now, what I mean by that is as follows. A bracha, when you have, let's say, raisinets, okay? And assuming, of course, that you make shahakal in your shulchan, not ha'etz, okay? So assuming for the moment, well, how are you going to make a shahakal and make ha'etz without being mafsik between the bracha and the achila? What are you going to... You're going to lick the chocolate off, you know, or you're going to scrape it off with your teeth as you make the bracha. And it, so the and I picked the case where you could.
What do you mean?
Let's say you have a mixture where it's very hard to sort one out from the other, which is really impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to assume that you're going to make two brachos might be a little odd, and that's why we might assume that we have to be koveya, what is the food, and we make a bracha rishona. But I could say that the only reason why I didn't make two bracha rishonas is because I couldn't, and therefore... I determine, in other words, and even if I, even if I, even if, and I can't make a bracha rishona, eat some, and then make another bracha rishona, eat some more, because maybe when I eat it, I'm eating the wrong thing first. In other words, bottom line is it doesn't really work, but bracha achrona, once I'm finished, once I had, let's say, this maliach and pas together, you know, once I had them, and even if they were mixed together, well, now I should say that I ate two foods, I should make the bracha for each of them. One might have thought that way, so Rashi says, no. Why? I presume because even if I have my herring and my cracker separate initially, I don't have to eat them there, I eat one on the other, but I could literally eat them separately, but together, you know, I'm eating one and one's a tafel to the other, you still don't make two bracha rishonas. And therefore what? Therefore, you see that basically the one food, it's not just a technical question of brachos, the one food is batel, legabe the other. It's as if I'm only eating the maliach, and therefore I don't make a bracha on the pas. And therefore, when it comes to brachos on malason, I also only make a bracha on the maliach, I don't make a bracha on pas, because I didn't eat bread, I ate maliach. It's not a monster chiddush, because I think we're used to thinking that way, because our main ikar v'tofa that we usually have is bread, but that's obviously, that works for different reasons probably. But Rashi says that. Rashi does say that. So I'm going to assume al derech haklal that any time you don't make a bracha rishon on something, when you weren't supposed to make a bracha rishon on something, you don't make a bracha achrona. That's where the trend tends to be in all the opinions. Now, Dan?
Could the Rukhiya be talking about bracha achrona only?
He could, in theory, be talking about bracha achrona. If he were only talking about bracha achrona, and that's relevant by advice as well. It happens to be, you should just know this, that if you eat any kinds of fruits, I don't think it applies to vegetables, but any kinds of fruits, and al ha'etz paters, al ha'etz v'al ha'peros, and if you drink any kinds of liquids and you're making an al ha'gefen, you don't make a bar nefashos either for those. In other words, the main shalosh paters all those things. What difference should it make? The only thing I don't know, you have to check, I think maybe al hamichya might even pater the bar nefashos of rice. I'm not sure about that, but it's none of the main shalishes will pater basar. That it won't pater.
Wait, but you see al adama, it'll...
No, we don't have one. Rabbeinu Tam temporarily had one of those, so I don't remember if al peros, you know, al artz al perosa, because we start at al etz al priates. I don't know if, I don't think on vegetables that would pater, even though the pre adama, it has to be being a peros elon. Shlomo? Assuming we paskin like this, I don't know. I haven't. We haven't dealt with, you know. we're doing the Gemara for the first time, and I haven't done that part of our Chaim, so I can't respond to that. But it could very well be, according to Rabbi Chiya Shita, and we might pass it like that way, actually, if you make a Bari Priya Geffen at the Kiddush, you wouldn't make a Shehakol on the soda. Yeah? Okay. Fine. So Pashtus is Rabbi Chiya, I think, is arguing on both. Rabbi Chiya is the modern one. In other words, he's the one who thinks you make a bracha on the pas pira, you don't worry about any other brachas, except for yain. Yain's obviously the Gemara is going to say is exceptional in so many ways. Okay.
If Rabbi Chiya's talking about bracha korona, he's only arguing on one, though, right?
He's presumably not arguing bracha rishona, in which case he agrees with them, in which case it's only pliga the Rav Sheshes. Right, he's most certainly arguing on Rav Sheshes. The question is he arguing on Rav Huna Nachman also? That's a question. Okay.
Because the only thing we have Rav Nachman here about are Tain and Rav, and if we have more than that, we might be able to say.
Well, we just don't know what we just don't know which bracha Rav Chiya is going on.
Say, but you're taking presumption just a second ago. Maybe you should bring the bracha up.
Then bracha rishona, he might agree that you have to make a bracha rishona. You just don't need a bracha achrona. Now, here's where the problems begin. So I'm going to start with this. Hopefully we can save this because we're not going to finish with this.
Do we have an eraser? Yes. Here.
Between the two of them, I got it made. Okay, that's what they say. I'm not really an Adam Chasha, but if we pretend for the moment the position makes me Adam Chasha, but Adam Chasha is not Rashi, let's say, so there we have two people, so. There you go. I know. He's a walking 40-piece toolkit. Okay. Anyway, we start with, okay, Rav Huna.
I think I might be better actually. Rav Huna Nachman.
Okay, is the first statement, and they hold that on Tein of Anavim. Here's where you really need a big board, but this will do anyway. Okay, Tein of Anavim require. Rishona, I'm going to put his resh. Rishona, yes, but Achrona, no. Okay? Then comes along Rav Sheshes, and he requires Rishona and Achrona. And then two colors may come in handy soon. And then we have Rav Chiya, and we don't know what Rav Chiya holds. He either requires Rishona and no Achrona. This is one. And two, okay, he requires no Rishona and no Achrona. Okay? So obviously, if you adopt the first position, he's following Rav Huna Rav Nachman. If you adopt the second position, let's pull that out. Okay. Okay, if you adopt the second position, he's holding like nobody. Okay. Now, what were the terms that were used in terms of describing when things and these the foods that they were talking about? The answer is nothing. Einim v'anavim. There was no discussion. There was no conceptual description of the foods, right? Now read Rav Papa. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I have a question, and see, this is where you need a smart board so you can erase and start over. Now, what I want to know is, what's that? Yeah, because that we view as highly unlikely. Now, how many bavos are there in this brisa? Are there? How many sections are there in this brisa? Okay, so read it again, Jason.
Amar Rav Papa, Hilchot Devarim Habayim Nachmar Asura B'Tilcha Suda, Ein Tunim Bracha Lo Lifnei B'Lo Lacharein.
Slow down. Machmas bitoch, and they require. No. Okay. So far? Hold on. Second case. Okay.
There you turn in bracha b'tnayim, but not b'achareim.
Okay.
In turning bracha
b'achareim. Okay.
Then there's one more.
What's the one more?
B'achare seida. And then it's turn in bracha ben b'tnayim, ben b'achareim.
Wow, it's kind of hot.
How many bubbas are here?
Two.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just changed the bubbas.
There are two, but the second one is like that.
You're racing and throwing racing out.
Or something else.
Oh, it's great. Here comes Rabbi Dulis.
Rabbi Dulis didn't throw those things. Okay. How many babos are in this brisa? I have a dissenting opinion here. How many people think there are three?
No. I see. Well, because
how many people think there are two? That was not one of the choices. You really
yeah.
Okay. You're really tempting me. The marker I'll throw.
No, you know what I mean.
You better duck fast. Well, no. No, I don't know what you mean. Obviously, when you set it up this way, this is why it's so nice having this. What is the key question that we shown him have to grapple with?
Where's the bicep? What's the key? Is it math
or no, it's something very practical, all right?
Are we dealing with the difference between whether it's during the meal or after the meal, or whether it's...
Well, okay, that's David
purpose,
was saying it.
Purpose of
but a very practical question.
What about the two cases of La'achar?
It's enough, there's enough big nafkamina here.
Talking about the same thing
as above. Well, what I want to know is, when we say La'achar asud, that you have to make a bracha rishon achrona, is that only when it's shalom mechamas asuda, or is it even when it's mechamas asuda?
Oh, right, you mean the how could it be?
If it's La'achar Asuda, then it shouldn't matter.
You asked that question on Tosos, my man. I'm a Rashba man, personally. That was the mistake. You know. So the answer is, you're top, in what effect I think is going to be the Rashba's position, which is, by definition, that can't
right.
be. Right? Now, I'll tell you how it could be. The answer, the way it could be, is if they took away the Shulchan and the Pas, and then they brought you some fish. Well, I mean, why are you eating the fish? You're eating because it's sweet, and you know, you like to finish off, and everybody looks forward to it, or you eating because you decide to have some more. It's about, this is, by the way, I'm just telling you, I happen to think, I agree with Eyal. That was my intuitive read. That's why I got tied up in knots when we were doing halacha about this. Because something didn't read straight to me. It's a big bachelor. So we showed him the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass the net. Why? I think it's difficult. It's irrelevant bisman hazeh because we don't have lachar sud anymore bisman
hazeh. But I think even back then, once you agree to have the table taken away, you decide in your mind, I'm no longer having this as part of the sud. If you want it afterwards...
So I understand. See, if you look at Rashi, of course... What is Rashi's Nusach? Tosus Msachim, by the way, which you're going to have to look at. You have to look at the parallel. It's not a parallel Tosus, because if not for the Mesor Shas, you wouldn't know it from the Gemara there. There are no hints to it. It's Tosus in the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, Dibur Maschil Ano. It's referred to in the Mesor Shas. You have to look at that Tosus, because I think, by the way, that Tosus may agree with Rashba. If you read the Tosus really carefully about this issue. But just to sort of finish this off for a moment, okay, what was Rashi's Nusach? Let's get a different color. I can do it because we're not crossing it. No, excuse me. It's Leflam Lacharem. It's the same end. This was Rashi's Girsa. How many babos are there according to Rashi? Clearly, there are three. Rashi is a chronological person, so therefore, there are three categories of food. there's Devarim Habayim, typically B'toch HaSuda Machmas HaSuda. There are things that are Habayim typically Toch HaSuda Shelo Mechamas HaSuda, which Rashi defines differently. And then there are Devarim Ragilim of Lachar HaSuda. There's no such thing as Devarim, according to Rashi, you can't talk about Mechamas HaSuda and Shelo Mechamas HaSuda Lachar HaSuda, because it's not a time. It's a description of the food. By definition, things that usually come after the Suda come after the Suda. And things that come B'toch HaSuda always come B'toch HaSuda, but they may have two different purposes B'toch HaSuda.
And therefore, according to Rashi, if you bring fish afterwards, it would still be Mechamas HaSuda.
Correct. For Rashi, it doesn't matter when you bring things. It seems to Rashi, it makes absolutely no difference. It makes absolutely no difference when you bring things.
So what's his position on Baruch then?
Now what we have to do is, since we know the smart board, somebody's got to come with their cell phone camera and just snap a picture, and then I can erase it. The scribe, okay.
And you have a smart board in there?
Wait, so according to Rashi...
Yes, Jason. According to Rashi, no. Pasa Baba Kisnin is Dvarim Haragilim Lavo Lachar Suda.
Sorry, that's the one thing that's not.
It's Regilim Lavo Lachar Suda, but you wouldn't make a Bracha Acharon on it.
Okay. You wouldn't make. That is Machman Asuda, always would not make a Bracha.
Mechamas HaSuda, will you never make a bracha Rishon Achorna, because that would be Lalafis HaSapas, according to Rashi. It's always a tafel.
And something that's B'toch HaSuda.
But Shalom Mechamas HaSuda,
you would also not make.
You'd always make a bracha Rishon on, according to Rashi, and never bracha Achorna. According to Rashi, as strange as it sounds, if you go to a Shabbos table and you eat your challah, and then they bring out meat, and they bring out, let's say, cranberry crunch, assuming that, you know, oats are not the ikar, whatever you get around that problem, and they bring out sweet potatoes, and they bring out, well, I guess I sort of covered them there. Or they bring out, let's say porridge, okay, dayasa. According to Rashi, you would make a shahakol, not in this order necessarily, a shahakol, you'd make a etz, you'd make a dama, you make mazonos in the middle of your meal on things that are courses or are dishes that go along with the meal. Yes. As strange as it sounds to us, according to Rashi, the only thing that we're going to see, this we haven't read inside, the only thing that pas is going to pather is that which is eaten as an adornment to the bread. You put peanut butter jelly on, you dip it in hummus, you do whatever else. That's what's going to be.
Okay, and then one thing that's, would you, the definition of machmas HaSuda is something that goes on the bread, is it something that's possible, like that it's possible to go, meaning like an avocado,
it depends. You're saying, so I don't know. You know, dual use foods.
Right.
Okay. Dual use foods. My guess would be depend upon how you're using them.
Okay. So even if I serve you an avocado, and you could eat the avocado plain, or you could smear it onto your bread.
It depends how I eat it.
Okay.
Depends how I eat it, Masha.
And it's possible that Rashi is really making a distinction categorically.
Here's the story. Firstly, I think Rashi's language throughout the entire thing makes it clear he's thinking about conceptual categories of food, not about chronology.
I understand that.
And I don't believe there's any evidence. Could Rashi hold, develop this concept of Hesech Hadas? Maybe he could, but if he would have said so. Meaning, in other words, I don't know if Rashi changed the Girsa. I don't know if Rashi had a different Girsa. I'm not exactly sure the story. Tosfos and Psachim, Aridiba Mas Rashi has Haragilim Lavo Lachar HaSuda. And Tosfos also seems to indicate here that there seems to be another Girsa. But if you look in Tosfos and Arve Psachim, Tosfos in Arve Psachim has a language the Afal Gav, the Perish Rashi Hasam, the Rashi Perish Hasam, Le'achar HaSuda, Kelomar, Dvarim HaRegilim Laval Achar HaSuda. Now, if it's not Rashi's Girsa, and in fact it's Rashi's Perish, certainly there's no excuse for Rashi not having bothered to go out of his way to talk about the concept of Hesech Hadas and its relevance here.
And since the entire picture one gets throughout this sugya from Rashi is that simply a question of the nature of the food, I see no basis for assuming Rashi lets chronology play any role. Shlomo? I'm sorry, you finished with, or you're...
I'm only wondering, because Rashi is only discussing the sort of abnormal case of something that, at least according to the gears, the level of Achar Suda, that happens to come to Hasuda. That's the sort of outlier here. It's not the reverse. The other, the scenario where something that's normally comes to Hasuda, that comes to Achar Suda, Rashi doesn't seem to be concerned with that. Maybe because the Gemara is not concerned with it, but maybe...
I think because of Eyal's tautology. That if it comes la'achar asuda, it's not la'achar asuda. Well, I know if it's the kind of food that no, if it's mechamas asuda, it's not la'achar asuda, by definition.
But he doesn't use that definite word for Rashi. Once you come la'achar asuda, the definition of la'achar asuda also goes away. In other words, he's only concerned with it in the case of his betel asuda.
Given what Rashi does to the Gemara and his silence on any of the chronology issues, I think you have to take it as a given. Remember what else is pushing Rashi in this direction? Don't forget that. Is that Rosheshes and Renachman and Huna don't talk about timing. They talk about Te'enim and Anovim. They came in the middle of the Suda. They usually come after the Suda.
That's why he deals with it between the Suda, that's what I'm saying.
There's no hint. The reason I think Rashi reads it chronologically is because there's no hint in the discussion of the early Amoraim that the timing plays a role. The timing is normally dictated by the role the food plays. It's not that the timing dictates what the role of the food is. Okay. Shlomo?
Is Rashi's Girsa attested in the manuscripts, or is it...
We will talk about that
Sunday.
And I asked you in the questions that I handed out today to go look at the Kisveyad. So even if you didn't get the questions from me, you get them from your Chavrusa, or if you're Chavrusa, if neither of you, whatever, I didn't catch you. So make sure you email me to get the questions if I don't remember to send them out myself. But I want you to go through that on that one page, page 128, I think it is, in the critical edition. I want you to carefully look over each of the four manuscript witnesses. I mean, you can look at the Vilna and the Venice or Sansino, whatever it is. Print things are the same, I think. And I want you to look at each of the Kisveyad. There are either two or three different versions in terms of what the Kisveyad present as a position. And I want you to look at them very carefully. We normally don't do this because most, as I explained to one of you this morning, most Shinui Nisach in Kisveyad are trivial. They're either issues of language and or scribal errors or whatever else. Here the Shinui Nisach are not trivial. They're incredibly important. And I would like to discuss that first thing on Sunday morning as it relates to the structure of the sugya and then the brisa. Once we have done that, we have sort of, I think, laid out all of the issues that are pertinent to the sugya that Rishonim are going to discuss, and then we will read Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos are beautiful and simple and straight. It's when you start to look at the Baal Hamor and the Ravid, you start to scratch your head. The Ravid is particularly difficult. The Baal Hamor is hard to know what to do with. But the Ravid's hard to understand what he's saying. But we will eventually get to deal with that as well. When you do on the Makaros, the Baal Halacha is good. Again, I didn't put it on there. Please look at that Tosfos and Pesachim Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. And we'll start with Halachas Gedolos because that, in effect, it's a little different than Shitas Rashi. You have to figure out how here a board is going to be very helpful. But you start with the Halachas Gedolos and then you go to Rashi. The Halachas Gedolos is on the sheet that I sent you. Are there any questions?